Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Good morning. Good afternoon, good evening, good day, all you beautiful people. Thanks for joining with me again for this episode of the No BS Bishop. I'm alive to love all lesser values. To me, just devolve and slide into the deep, dark rabbit hole of BS. They just become manipulations. They become consternations. They become means by which we try to control people through our behaviors. Only love rises above that kind of nonsense. Only love rises to the occasion of treating others as we would want them to treat us. Only love has the credibility of having a conversation with people, an ongoing conversation, no matter how much we may disagree, no matter how much we may have divergent views on any given subject. Love alone is a credible value, and it's the only credible value that gives us the breath to breathe day by day as we join with the rest of humanity, whoever they are, whatever color their skin, whatever their political opinion may be, whether they be left or right, up or down, high or low, rich or poor. Love joins us together, and that's why I am on this project that I call Alive to Love, All Lesser Values Are Potential BS. I'm on this project of unpacking the values, the truths, the beauties of love, week in and week out. So as I've been given to say lately, I want you to pull up a chair, get comfortable, get a cup of coffee, relax, join me in my pastor's study. I've been at the ministry of a pastor for the better part of a half a century, and I have had the opportunity to learn some things the hard way, the good ways, the easy ways, but most of the time it's been because I said to somebody the other day, the best lessons I've learned in life, I've had to write a check for. And I don't mean just a money check. I mean emotional or intellectual check. I've had to cut a check that covers my bases, covers my mistakes, covers my failures. And so I've paid a few prices along the way to gain some wisdom in this pathway I call the being alive to love. I say this routinely because I want to set the stage. I'm not an expert at love, but I am a pioneer. I am a pilgrim. I'm climbing the mountain. Sometimes I have to pull back from the climb of the mountain, go back to a plateau and rest a bit, and then come back at the mountain again. It is a mountain climb, and it is difficult. There's nothing easy about love. There's nothing nicety nice about love. Love does the heavy lifting. Love is the sacrificial notion of how we relate to people and to life, even to ourselves. Love demands something more of me than just a casual approach to life and to other people. So I want to unpack the aging of love, how love can age well, how we can grow day by day. And I'm 68, so I'm aging physically. But you know, being old physically is no guarantee of being older and wiser. Wisdom doesn't come just because you've been on the earth a while. If that was the case, then elephants would be the smartest beings on the planet. They're pretty smart, but they're not wise. They're not able to teach us love. Love requires that I'm on the path of learning and that I'm aging well. The how love can age well. Love ages in so many different forms that one program here wouldn't cover it all. But I do want to make sure that I'm giving it some attempt. I just have learned that in almost every circumstance of my life, I need to learn how to ask myself, am I growing more cynical or more soft? Here's what I mean by that. You know, cynicism means that I just don't believe anything anymore. I just don't believe people anymore. I just don't trust people anymore. I believe that everything has some kind of evil motive behind it. Cynicism tends to narrow how I view the world around me. So I've had to learn how to ask, am I growing more cynical? Or am I getting softer? And I don't mean soft in the sense of being able to put up with stuff I shouldn't put up with, but I mean a heart that is compassionate, empathetic. Empathy means that I'll enter into the feelings of others, that I am empathos. That's what the word empathy comes from, is to enter the pathos. The pathos is of anyone is their passion, is their emotions. Enter that. To get out of your own sphere of thinking and enter theirs. That's what soft means to me. I've had to learn how to ask myself routinely, am I getting more harsh? Or am I growing more forgiving? Harsh in the sense that, you know, I see continuing news stories of bad news, and I can get hard to that. I can get harsh about that. I can become readily judgmental, readily jumping to conclusions about what people really meant or what people are really trying to do, when all I've heard is just one little slice on the news flash or in my social media feed or on the television or the radio. Wherever it is I picked up a piece of news, it's just a 30-second summary of perhaps a 30-year story. And I can get harsh by judging what I hear with a rapid pace of trying to circumvent any real thinking about what's going on there. Or am I becoming more harsh or more forgiving? I do believe forgiving is one of the hardest topics known to the emotional landscape of humans, because so many people, myself included, we've all had events in our life that were perpetrated by people who intentionally or unintentionally were harmful to us. They caused pain. They said or did things that were directed at our integrity. They were saying or doing things that were directed at questioning the veracity or the credibility of who we are. And to forgive that can take a while, and it should take a while. You know, on the worst extreme, if somebody's been physically violated on any level, sexually, physically, psychologically violated by some criminal perpetrator, and we demand forgiveness of them, we better stop and ask ourselves, what did that person really go through, and how can I help them understand forgiveness without throwing in the towel and giving in to how the perpetrator is just going to get off scot-free? Because, see, I believe forgiving is being able to remember an event. I never have taught anyone just forgive and forget. That's inhuman. It's not even possible. My brain is a good recorder. My brain is a good remembering, well, at least, you know, bad events. My brain can remember pain. And so when it remembers pain, I tell people just to forgive and forget, folks will ask me, but how do I forget what is branded into my memory pathways? Well, you can't do that. But forgiveness means I can remember an event, but I have trained my thinking toward love, toward aging well in love. I have trained my thinking to have a memory without the need for justice or vengeance. Justice is going to come of its own volition. Martin Luther King Jr. said one time, the moral bend of the universe is an arc that bends very softly, but it always bends toward justice. Justice will come. Justice comes to those who have been evil perpetrators. But if in our memory of people who have harmed us, we demand justice, we demand things be somehow or another corrected to satisfy us, we're still in need of forgiving. Not to make what they did right, but to make who we are as right as we can. That's what I'm talking today about, having a love that is aging well. See, I know people in their teen years, in their 20s, who are old before their time because they are not aging well. They're so wrapped up in a desire, a demand. I was trying to find the word, a demand for justice, a demand to get somebody to pay for their wrongs. Well, you're going to age fast. You're going to be 100 years old in your 20s and 30s if you demand things be made right according to your definitions. So am I getting more harsh? Or am I growing more forgiving? And forgiving, again, is moment by moment, decision by decision. Jesus said you should decide, you should forgive 70 times 7 per day. What he's saying there is that it's going to take every day, layer upon layer, to repeat to yourself, I forgive. I've got to let that go. I've got to grow my thinking about this subject greater in a greater proportion toward love. Am I, you know, another question I have to ask myself, am I giving everyone around me the grace I needed to get to this stage of my life with my heart still intact? You know, everybody around me needs the same grace I need. Am I giving them the grace? Am I giving them the opportunity to make a mistake, to stumble, just as I've needed the opportunity to make a mistake, to stumble? Are people getting grace from me that I've needed to get to this stage in my life with my heart still intact? And so if I am aging love well, if love is growing old in a beautiful and fragrant way, then I've got to give all folks around me the same grace that I've needed to get where I'm at today. I have to ask this question too. This one is it begs an answer at all times in every stage of our life, and that is, do people want to run away when I show up, or do people want to be in my space? Now, I understand that not everybody wants to be in my space because we just don't mix. I get that. There's a chemistry that has to be present for long-term intimate relationships as friends or otherwise. But in general, are people running away or dodging me because I give off something other than love? Or are people finding themselves wanting to stop and say, hey, you, I haven't seen you in a while. How's life? Or people are finding their incidental contact with me as a good thing, not a negative thing. I don't want folks to leave my presence with the sense that, oh man, that was 3 minutes long. That's 3 minutes I'll never get back in my life. I want to be able to salt the earth with the flavor of love so that as I age, I want to age in love well. That love will age with me in the beauty of a significant sense of respect for other people. That doesn't mean I agree with everybody. It doesn't mean that I think everybody's right and that they've always had the best of attitudes in their life. But once again, I ask a question, am I giving everybody around me the grace that I've needed to get to this stage of my own life with my heart still intact? Everybody's going to have some foibles. Everybody's got their idiosyncrasies. Everybody lives in some corner of life that isn't fully developed. And what they need is our grace, because we have needed that same grace. Giving grace to others means that I've recognized I have received mountains of grace to get where I am in this stage of my life. Because I do believe aging is no guarantee of a quality of life. Aging alone doesn't mean you're going to have a good quality life. It means that I have developed a keen sense of always learning, growing in my understanding of who I am, who others are, and how I can deepen my walk and my pilgrimage of love to grow as my days increase. I do want to leave this world behind me someday when I step off of this dimension and into the next dimension as I pass from a physical life to physical death. I do want to have my last moments lived in some satisfaction that my love aged well, and that I wasn't hoping to see somebody quick because I need to tell them I love them. I don't want to close my eyes with the last sense that, oh my gosh, I forgot to let them know I appreciated them, that I gave them my love. I want to be sure as much as I can. I mean, as much as is humanly possible. I want to be as certain as I can that my love has aged well, and that my heart has grown more soft and not more harsh, that my mind has grown in the sense that I am open to the ideas of others, even if in the end I conclude they're wrong. See, you can listen to another opinion and take it in without having to give your opinion unless it's requested. love ages well when we learn how to be as quiet as we know how to be, unless we've been asked for our opinion or asked for our counsel. Uninvited counsel is worse than no counsel at all. I hear people on occasion say, well, I can't just let that go by. I can't just let a wrong opinion slide past me and not tell them how wrong they are. You know, we people of faith are terrible about this. We just think that everybody deserves the 2 cents of our opinion about anything going on, politically or educationally or otherwise. We just think, oh man, I know something. They just need to know what I know. And I'm here to tell you that uninvited, unwelcomed advice is worse than no advice at all. When you have truth that is of any value at all to give someone, that truth will ultimately somewhere be invited. It will be on some level, somewhere, great or small, it will be asked for. And if it's not asked for, hang on to it. I jokingly say, don't just go around giving everybody a piece of your mind. You may need that peace of mind whenever it comes to the moment when somebody asks for your peace, P-E-A-C-E. When they ask for what is in your mind, if you go around giving a piece of your mind, P-I-E-C-E, they lose the peace, P-E-A-C-E, and not have anything left to give when it's requested. The cold call of being giving so folks wisdom or giving them our 2 cents, the cold call. You know what a cold call is, right? The cold call is what comes on your cell phone from people trying to sell you the auto warranty that isn't real. That cold call comes from a spam call on your phone or on your email list. People trying to get you to sign up for something that you never really asked for or never thought you ever needed, but they're calling you cold. They're calling you on the spur of the moment, or a robocall, or a computer call is checking you out to see if you're a soft target for selling you something. That's what a cold call is. So when we run around giving people our advice, you know, wouldn't it be funny if we had a screen on our forehead that would, like our cell phones, warn you when you see a call coming from someone you don't know? Your cell phone says potential spam. Maybe we ought to have a little screen on our forehead that says to people that we're talking to, it that maybe it says potential spam, beware. so that an uninvited, unwelcomed opinion is seen for what it is. It's a cold call, and it's not going to have the warmth of genuine love. Love ages well when love recognizes it is spent well in welcome places. It is spent well in welcome places. And you may say, well, but they've got to know the truth. They've got to hear the truth. They've got to get the right truth. And my answer to that is, remember how you came to truth, and give people the grace of how to come to truth without being forced to come to truth. Remember how you weren't sitting on your the edge of the seat, standing on tiptoes, just waiting for somebody to come tell you how wrong you were. You weren't. You've never been there, nor is anyone else. We will be invited to share our wisdom on the basis of our aging of love. Guarantee in the quality of life only if love, as my day, possibility of a true inheritance given to those who are inclined to receive. People who are inclined to receive is the key there. You know, I belong to, and I'm the for spiritual program retreat. Spiritual program retreat's been in the western Wisconsin area for 40 years, and we have labored through the principles of the big book, the principles of the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, to train people and to give people the handles, the promises, and the commitments of how to live a sober life, to live free and joyous, to live free of the addictions that run deep in our souls and in our minds. And what we routinely give people is the opportunity to see who they really are, when they have to have a fifth step, which is to admit to God and to another human being the exact nature of their wrongs. When we operate in the unconditional grace and love and forgiveness of an environment of giving folks the opportunity to share their story, however or sick or wrong that story may be, share your story and we'll help you find forgiveness. We'll help you. We'll walk with you. We're not going to treat one conversation as a do-all, finish-all, encompassing all wisdom. We're going to give you the empathy of along the journey through the 12 steps, and it's going to take patience and time, and especially a love that will age well in a relationship, a love that will simmer on the stove, as it were, a love that will just allow breathing to go on between two people or multiple people. So in the 12 Steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, in the Big Book, and at Spiritual Program Retreat, we are striving, not perfectly, as none of us are perfect in any of these efforts, but we're striving to allow folks to find the footing of being loved right where they are, not where we want them to be, but right where they are, and to work toward a better, more beautiful life as we love them toward a better day. That's how love ages well. We're in a day and time in our nation when the polarization, the politicizing of every opinion has driven far too many wedges between far too many people. Even in communities of faith, we've grabbed for a political position, and rather than reaching for the highest value of all of life, and that is love. Jesus said, "They will know you are my disciples indeed if you have love for one another." In one of the prayers of Jesus, he said, "Father, that the love you had for me may be in them," meaning all of his followers up to and including today, "that the love you had for me," that God's love for his own son Jesus, "would be in the followers of Jesus." Wow, what an astonishing prayer. And it is my conviction, it is my belief, that all the prayers of Jesus get answered. And so it's a prayer that is awaiting an answer in your heart, in my heart, that there be a significant energy, healing energy, cooking in my soul, that the aroma of the kitchen of my soul is the baking bread, that warm, beautiful, aromatic embrace of love. It's happening. It's happening in me as I age day by day by day. So that's my those are my musings today. How to give love the opportunity to age well. And remember, you can grow old long before your time, mentally and emotionally, if you don't walk in the beauty and the significance and the strength and the power and the heavy lifting of love alone. We close every No BS Bishop, I'm Alive to Love, with two exercises. And one is to breathe. You know, before you give somebody 2 cents, before you give somebody a piece of your mind, breathe. And maybe by breathing, you'll clear your own mind, you'll clear your own soul, so that you don't find yourself trapped in a corner of a verbal dispute. So when I say to breathe, I mean this is something that every day you practice. You practice it while you're driving, you can practice it while you're home reading or watching television, or you are just going to bed at night. Practice your breaths, deep breaths. Pulled deeply inside, push against the diaphragm and in the base of your lungs. Pull in that air, hold it as deep as you can for as long as you can, and then exhale it, and do it routinely throughout every day. You lower your blood pressure, you'll give your body an opportunity to be cleansed, and your mind will slow down. So on the count of three, I want you to breathe with me, and to breathe as deep as you can, hold it as long as you can, and exhale, just as an exercise. One, two, three. Breathe in. Hold it in there. Nice and deep. And exhale. That is just a sample of how for 5, maybe 10 minutes every day, quiet yourself, slow life down. We're in the season of Advent right now, leading up to Christmas. The temptation is to get all wild and crazy about your schedule and run around, and then you lose the quality of this beautiful season, a season of lights, that Christ has come. The advent of light took time, and we need to take time. Breathing will slow you down, give you the opportunity to take some time. The second exercise we close the No BS Bishop with is I challenge you to look somebody in the eye. Slow down your words. I love you. And do it with such intentionality that it'll feel awkward, especially with people who've never had it done in their life. It'll feel awkward to you if you've never done it on a repeated basis. But as weird as it may feel, and sure, you should find appropriate folks to say these words to, but as weird as it may get, I promise you, you will change you as much as you'll change others when you give them the full attention of your words, when you say, I love you. Look them right in the eye and say, I love you. It is a masterstroke of just verbal health. It's just a significant way to age well. May those who know you talk about that sweet, dear old man, that sweet, dear old lady who will slow their pace down, look you in the eye, take you by the hand, and say, I love you. What a great legacy. What an amazing project in life that can be. Well, thanks for being here today again for this episode of the No BS Bishop. I'm alive to love. All lesser values devolve into BS, just manipulation and control. I'm not here for that. I'm here for love. I'm here to be sure that you know I love you. Happy trails, y'all. Now go out there and do something beautiful, because ugly, oh baby, ugly has been done to death.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.